So yeah, speaking of that kind of stuff, how much of the stuff that you hear is true? Like, I don't know if you saw that show recently with Andrew Garfield that came on.
I
It was
haven't seen the show,
basically,
but I did read the book.
okay, you know what I'm talking about then. So how much of, I felt like with that show, they definitely kind of, they made that family just look crazy. But in general, how much of the stuff that you hear is true? And it's like the multiple wives, I'm forgetting what they call that, polygamy. Is that still going on,
Polygamy,
or
but
has that been
no.
banned?
No, it's yeah, as far as I know, when I was in Utah, they were like, nah, it's not a thing anymore.
So how, I'm trying to think, how deep into history do you want to go? Because I actually love church history. I think it's fascinating. How about I give you just like a 5-minute rundown on church history? Would you be good with that? Because that'll answer the polygamy question. So the biggest difference between Mormons and just general Christians. So back in the early 1800s, you guys have probably heard of Joseph Smith. So Joseph Smith was the founder of Mormonism. When he was a teenager, early 20s, between teenager and early 20s, he reported to having multiple visions. So he said that he saw God, first of all, and then he said that he had an angel come to him, an angel Moroni, and that's the angel you'll see on top of Mormon temples, kind of blowing a trumpet. And so he said he saw Angel Moroni and that he led him to golden plates, which is what the Book of Mormon is. So there's two of the first big things that Mormons believe different than Christians is they believe that there's still prophets today that God and angels appear to, and that there's more scripture than the Bible. So I actually have a Book of Mormon right here. So you maybe have seen those. So Joseph Smith purported to translate it by the power of God. If you watch the South Park episode, it shows actually accurately. The historical records show that he did that using a seer stone, in a hat, looking in a hat, which actually I wasn't taught until my mission. I didn't hear that till my mission, and I learned it. But you know, the church doesn't talk about that as much because it does sound kind of crazy, right? and so anyway, from that moment, from the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith organized the church. And so the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes it's a restoration of the church, and it's part of a greater restoration movement. So if you look at the history of Northeastern United States at this time period, there were actually multiple like preachers. One of them's named Alexander Campbell. He had a group called the Campbellites. There were lots of groups kind of working towards restoration or reorganizing. They thought that, you know, the Catholics had kind of screwed everything up, that Protestants were getting it closer, but it needed to really be reorganized. And so that's where the church comes in. So I won't dive too much into the history, although I'll answer any of the historical questions because honestly, I'm a nerd about this stuff. I think it's really cool. But to get to the polygamy question, about probably about 5 to 6 years after Joseph Smith reorganized the church or organized the church, was the first purported time of polygamy with a woman. Well, actually, she was a girl. She was probably only 17 or 18. Fanny Alger was her name. And there's some sketchy stuff about the history there, which polygamy is a big part of a lot of people who end up leaving the church because you start learning about the history and it is sketchy and it sounds kind of culty and kind of predatory, even. So anyway, Fanny Alger was the first. And then there's about a 5-year period in history that Joseph Smith doesn't have any other wives, and she kind of disappears. Some of the people call it an affair. He later calls it an actual marriage, and the church recognizes it as marriage. And then Joseph Smith later receives a revelation that polygamy, like Abraham had in the Old Testament, was part of this restoration. And so the sources vary, but Joseph Smith had about 35 to 36 wives by the time he died in 1845 or 18, is that right? 1844, 1845. And
I didn't
so,
know that.
yeah. And it's kind of crazy because that most of that happened in like a 2 or 3 year time period. So imagine 35 wives in 2 to 3 years.
I can't
And
imagine one wife in 2 to 3 years.
right. Well, yeah. And I don't want to just sow the seeds of doubt of things about the church, but one of the big sketchy things is, you know, he has these 35 wives. His actual wife, his first wife, didn't find out about these until pretty close to the end of his life. In fact, she probably was only aware of a handful of them. And so
Smart guy, smart guy.
Yeah. If you dive into the history, there's a lot of half truths, a lot of covering up. It's kind of sketchy.
So from a history perspective, when did polygamy end? Because when I was there, you know, even in Colorado, there were some places they're like, yeah, this was a polygamist, not refuge, but compound, right? And mm-hmm. So like, when did that end?
Yeah. So after Joseph Smith was murdered by an angry mob. And after that happened, Brigham Young was the successor, but actually Brigham Young was the main successor. There was a bunch of splinter groups that broke off because Joseph Smith didn't line up a good successor. I don't think he expected to die as young as he did. He was just in his 30s. And so Brigham Young took the majority of the Saints. They were still heavily persecuted by people in Illinois, people in Missouri. And so they trekked west to Utah. And Brigham Young, of course, is who BYU is named after. Brigham Young was also a famous polygamist, had I don't even know how many wives, more than Joseph Smith. Following Brigham Young's death, he was the prophet of the church for a long time. John Taylor was the next. He was also a polygamist. The fourth prophet was Wilford Woodruff. He's actually my great-great-great-grandfather. And at threat of the federal government, you know, the church was threatened that they were going to take away the church's property. There was lots of these polygamists getting thrown in jail because it was illegal. And so from all these threats, the church received a revelation, conveniently, that to stop polygamy. And so that's when it officially stopped. Now, my understanding of the history is it took some time. You know, if you think of something like that, you know, there's all these men with multiple wives. How do you just stop it with just a harsh stop? So I think it petered out over time. But that was a cause for another big schism in the church. So there were a lot of people who liked polygamy. And so they thought, oh, this is a false revelation. This was a false prophet. And so these new prophets sprung up. And that's where you'll get some of the splinter groups like the FLDS. So like if you know anything about Warren Jeffs, and there's a documentary on Netflix that if you want to learn about fundamentalists, Mormonism, that's a great, well, actually it's a terrible documentary. It'll make you really angry because it's disgusting. Because he's just, you know, a sexual predator, terrible guy.
Yeah, no, I watched that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just want to punch him in the face after watching?
Yeah, that? It was almost like Waco kind of. It was a cult.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Thing, it's super disgusting. But so that's where those fundamentalists come in. And then if you watch Under the Banner of Heaven, those guys that commit the murder, the Laffertys, they would be considered fundamentalists as well. But they grew up just normal LDS. But my understanding is when they became adults, they became kind of far right conservative fundamentalists. And they started getting their own revelations. And one of those revelations was that murder spree. You know, they killed the mom and the baby, and they eventually were going to kill more people. Fortunately, they were stopped. But yeah, so they would be considered fundamentalists as well. And so, you know, there is a history of some violence in the church, and there's a history of some polygamy, but like the fundamentalists have held on to that. And fortunately, the dominant church has let go of some of those more racist, polygamy, violent, some of those really, really bad things. I mean, there's still things I view as harmful, but fortunately they've dropped the really harmful stuff.
I think that's with like any religion, right? You know, any religion, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, Muslim, Christianity, Mormon, you name it, Judaism got, they were tortured themselves the opposite direction, but in the other religions, at least specifically, you know, there's always a sect of that holds on to what they believe to be the truth. And it's something, it's a way to justify the means, right? And so they commit things, you know, atrocious acts that they just chalk up to, yeah, of course, it's part of our religion. And that can be found in any religion. So it's just... The reason that Mormon is in the spotlight is because we're American, right? And so Catholicism, Christianity, and all the religions, but that's one that's like specific to a certain state, right? And so it's got a lot of limelight on it, in my opinion, but maybe you can correct.
No, I think you're right. And in fact, I'm not positive of the statistics, but I'm pretty sure it's the largest American-born religion. You know, we don't probably have a ton. But, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses are American-born, Seventh-day Adventists are American-born, and us are probably the three biggest that I know of. And I believe the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the biggest as far as membership, definitely as far as money.
And definitely the most powerful, I was going to say.
Powerful and money, definitely. In fact, the money of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I'm pretty sure, is larger and significantly larger than the Catholic Church even.
It's just
in terms of like Christianity, would that so you were talking about like religions that were founded in America. Christianity was technically founded, would it be like Israel or something? Or
sure.
It all stems from Judaism, technically. So yeah.
Well, yeah, even Mormonism stems from Judaism, but you're saying like the one like Mormonism technically and Jehovah's Witness started in America, whereas Christianity would be, like I said, like Israel, probably, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good question, because like I assume some of the Protestant denominations are probably American born as well. You guys would probably know better than me, but I don't know, like Methodists and like Baptists, I would assume those are all American born as well. But I don't know, would you consider that a separate religion or just a denomination?
No, a denomination. My good, like,
yeah.
I would say it's Judaism, Catholicism, so Italy, right? And then America, for what we understand it to be.
No, but
and that's just a bunch of dialect or sects. Not right.
What I'm asking though is where would you say Judaism started technically? Would it be like Rome or would it be
Judaism would be an Abrahamic religion, which is the same as, you know, Islam and Christianity. So in the where did Abraham, you know, somewhere in that middle Eastern
Mesopotamia or something.
Technically, I don't think like Christianity started until like after Jesus' death, which would have been like like 50 or
No, that would technically be Catholicism, because Christianity.
No, it would be Christianity.
No,
because you need Jesus' death in order to have Christianity.
Right. Well, Catholics came technically, as far as I understand it, first, and then Martin Luther.
So wrote like Protestantism.
Protestantism, yeah, which you understand Christianity to be today, yeah.
Sure.
So Martin Luther wrote or posted on the doors the of the church.
The 95 Theses, yeah.
Yep, and he said that we're done with all these acts of work, right, to earn our way to heaven. It's just a gift. That's what Christians today believe is. And you could, Micah, you could argue that, yeah, everybody was a Christian after you believed in Jesus, right? Being on earth, saw him crucified, saw him rose again. Like, of course, you're going to be like, yeah. Like, and so technically, John, Paul, all these guys, they were Christians. And that's in a lot of different religions, context, you know, Bibles, quote unquote. But you know, the Christianity as you know it today was a revolt against Catholicism, and Catholicism had been around a lot longer. So,
well, no, but that's my question.
Did you even listen in our religious courses in high school?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I don't even know if they went over this type of stuff, and I'm still asking you the question: where did Christianity start? According to you, it was after Catholicism. So where would that have been? It would have either been, I'm assuming, like the Israel area, or it would have been.
No.
Well, then where? You tell me. Where did it start?
Martin Luther.
And where was that? Is what I'm asking.
I don't know. I believe
Martin Luther was German, somewhere. Wasn't he? I think Martin Luther was German.
Oh, so you could actually say that it was like Germany where it started.
Well, that
Europe somewhere.
There's a whole step of stuff, right? Because they started like John Wycliffe. Started working on like translating the English Bible, and I can't remember the
Germany. You're right.
It is Germany, England, all over there.
Well, so. I think technically, from what I've heard, is that Paul, like, technically started the beginnings of Christianity with basically the sermon that, or not, yeah, the sermon or whatever that like Jesus died for your sins. That technically, I think, started in like, I'm just like going here. I'm not sure exactly, but like 50 to 100 AD. But anyways, we don't have to go too far down the rabbit hole of where.
Well, I think it's a definition difference, you know, whether, and I do agree with, cause I would consider Catholics in Christianity. But I know different people have different definitions for that. I'd just say anyone who, you know, Jesus is the person you follow, because actually a lot of people will push back and say, oh, Mormons aren't Christians, and even though I've left and I consider myself a Christian and a different kind of Christian, I'd still say they're Christian. So it's maybe a little bit of definitions.
kind of. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I'm totally fine in getting into the deep part of religion and all that. But as of right now, we would just probably be debating on where we think it started, unless somebody wants to like look it up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you're looking it up, Jordan, but it's probably a difficult question to say when exactly did Christianity start. But so I know there was that show, I want to say Sister Wives, right? Mm-hmm. So there, I don't know if there still is, but there still was polygamy going on in that show. How is that show even legal? Like, how is that guy able to have all those wives and like literally have it filmed on a reality show?
The crazy thing about it, and I don't know all the legal parts of it, but like a lot of it's kind of live and let live because it is illegal. And the way they get around it is they don't have marriages by the state. So they'll just consider like their first wife is married by the state. And this I've learned just from watching that Warren Jeffs show. And then they'll just kind of have a religious ceremony that's not recognized by the state. So it's just kind of like, it's kind of like living in adultery almost. But like, that's how the state would see it. But as they see it, they're married. Does that make sense? But it is sketchy.
Well, yeah, that's just an easy way around it, right? Like if I wanted to have five wives, I have one wife that I marry like in the law. And then I have four other wives that aren't technically my wives, and the question that I wanted to ask you too is, how do the females look at the polygamy? Like, are they fine? Are they fine with it when they're
it's super abusive. And I think there's probably some polygamous husbands who aren't, but I would say for the most part, I don't think it's a healthy system of marriage. So if you watch that Warren Jeffs show, especially when, young women under the age of consent are involved, that's obviously when it gets really predatory and harmful and like bad, super bad. And it's illegal. And that's usually when the state will step in, is when there's evidence of women under the age of 18, which unfortunately it tends to go that way for whatever reason. I think probably because they start running out of women in those communities, and also because they're perverts. But
yeah, that's like a whole interesting topic as to why are so many men interested in like young women. And
come to Los Angeles. What are you talking about?
Well, there's got to be something to that. And I mean, obviously, technically, according to like evolution or whatever, like you are attracted to younger women. Are you guys there?
I'm still here. Yeah. It looks like maybe we lost Jordan.
I think Jordan cut off. Yeah. According to evolution, like men are technically, or people are attracted to younger people because of they're more healthy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like an 18-year-old is going to be more healthy and live longer than a 40-year-old, and therefore you'll probably have better offspring or whatever. So I guess that's a reason. But